Okay, so last week, the prophet Amos from the generation of Jeroboam II was a shepherd from Tekoa, a region in South Judah, who was harvesting mulberries. He heard his callings from God and went all the way to Bethel and Samaria in North Israel to shout out the God's words. The reason why the prophets were called upon and spread the gospel is because the generation and the people were not living by God's words and led their life towards destruction and collapse themselves at a fast pace. That's why last week we looked at the first two chapters of the book, where the God tells the countries of the warnings before the God's judgment, so that the people of the time will realize that not only the Israelites who were chosen by God, but any other countries and all the people are cared by God and looked after equally by God. So as God sends the prophet Jonah to Nineveh, we won't know or realize, but through people who are devoted to God, God will work through them to pass the love and hope to all people. So it is certain that God doesn't only favor the Israelites who he called the chosen people, which is an often misunderstanding from the Bible. So when we refer to the chapter 9, verse 7 of the book, just like how God saved and freed the Israelites from Egypt, the Peleset were saved from Kapto, and the Aram people were saved from Kedu. So from this, we can see that God really cares and takes responsibilities to look after all the people from all the different nations. And this is why God can reproach and scold anyone and also judge them all equally and fairly. So that's why from the beginning of the book, it lists and alarms the judgment of God and the reasons to all the neighboring countries, and also to South Judah and North Israel, who even knows about God. God does have his standards and criteria when he's judging the nations. The neighboring nations are judged based on their ethics and morals as a human being, but the chosen people, they go beyond that and also judge on whether they live by God's promises and regulations or whether they have not. God also looks at your sins with the same standards and criteria as the neighboring countries, but for chosen people like us, he looks at whether we have followed the promises that he made through Moses, or acted against it, or as a person who was meant to show the glories of God through us, have distorted God or ignore the values of God's words or disobey God or just live like the people in today's society. The book of Amos is a message towards the North Israelites. So from the chapter 2 verse 6 all the way to chapter 9, it talks about God's forewarning about the punishments of their sins and also tell them to come back to God. When we look at the sins of the Israelites, the chapter 2 verse 6 says, "For three sins of Israel, even for four, I will not take it lightly. They sell the innocent for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals. They trample on the heads of the poor as on the dust of the ground and deny justice to the oppressed. Father and son use the same girl and so profane my holy name." The sad and pitiful fact is that these sins are repeated and treated very lightly in the generation we live in now. God's rules and regulations provided a way for all the powerless and weak people and the poor to live together in happiness. So respecting human and civil rights, loving life, equality and justice were the key points and the reasons to why God gave us his promises through Moses. But instead, the authorities and people in power and the riches in North Israel kept all the gift from God, and they didn't even bother sharing it to the people who were entitled to it. And they went on further by violating people's human and civil rights, no equality or justice in the society, trample on the lives that were meant to be respected, and they were so focused on fulfilling their greed. The Bible really criticizes the major companies and corporations and anyone with so much authority and money and their overuse of powers. It and it also criticizes people with religious status when they compromise with the world, do not fear God, and flatter or suck up to people with money and power. Those selfish people are just using their opportunities given to share to opportunities to fulfill their greed. That's why God is questioning you through the Bible. Since when did you all become well off and have enough to act like this? Didn't I give you salvation and saved you all from the death and gave you the place and a reason to live? Even from the history, your nation started from my blessing, and don't you know that the reason why I gave you a chance to repent and recover from your sins is because I love you and also felt pitiful towards you, not because you had the power or the ability. But why do you act like you do today? I do understand when you live your life, it is easy to fall for all this greed, but didn't I send you prophets for you to leave all delusions and greed and come back to your callings? Even though you knew about these things and were aware of it, you still distracted the people who tried to live as they were called by God, shut the prophets when they were shouting the gospel, and threatened and silenced anyone who would pass on God's words. Lashirim are people who differentiate themselves from the world and try to live a holy life and be devoted to God. They are the ones who try their best to keep the promises with God in despite their situations and circumstances. We also call this kind of people as us, who must teach and spread the reasons of our life and our presence in today's world and carry on with our mission. When God tries so hard to call you, work through you, and encourage you to carry on with God's missions, you are being sarcastic, criticize them, force them to commit sinful acts, pressure them not to speak the truth on purpose. That's why God is telling you that He will punish you. The chapter 3 of the book Amos is a response to the question, why does God want us to live like this when everyone in today's world lives differently? Through chapter 3, it tells us that it's because we are the chosen nation, chosen people, the only bridge to the world who can teach and spread God's words, and the ones who were blessed first. So chapter 3, verse 1 to 2 says, "Hear this word, people of Israel, the word the Lord has spoken against you, against the whole family I brought up out of Egypt. You only have I chosen of all the families of the earth, therefore I will punish you for all your sins." So we were the only ones who can tell people who God is, and the only ones who can save people from death. The salvation was God's grace towards us, just so that we can lead the people to eternal life with God and spread the blessings of God, not because we earned it. But instead, the people at the time only cared about themselves, so they changed God into their golden calf idol and trample on the poor and the weak and rip off their leather and drain their blood to make themselves affordable. So God is going to question at the time of judgment about all of their sins they committed to satisfy themselves and fulfill their greed. This kind of warning of the punishments are not a sudden thing. God doesn't just watch you and suddenly come to you to retaliate or take revenge. When people walk in wrong direction and fall for the wrong things, God will help you through the judges and send prophets to pass on how God feels and how sad He is for us to not notice Him in our life. God never just keeps quiet and suddenly punishes us unfairly. Chapter 3 verse 7 says, "Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing His plan to His servants the prophets." Before the times when the Bible was starting to be written, at the time of history in the Mount Sinai, God told the people how to live their life and also told them the consequences of breaking promises with God and walk the simple pathway first. So the history of the world is not achieved by God's prophecies, but achieved by people who go against God's words and disobey God and make wrong decisions. Because God doesn't force us to do anything, He gives us freedom with our choices. The history can be seen as the warned consequences achieved by people's behavior and attitudes. God doesn't say, "I planned it like this, so you must follow." He tells us, if you choose that or decisions, if you choose that or make wrong decisions, the results are going to be like this. So you should make careful decisions that reflect the values of God. So it is really important for us as a Christian to know the Bible correctly and know who God is. Then how does God inform His will to His people prior to their actions? Through educating, teaching and learning, God lets us know His wills. That is the main reason for the Bible, and He talks to us through the sermon where the Bible is discussed. That's why it is very important for anyone passing God's message through the Bible and history to not add or subtract anything, but to pass on the truth with desperate feelings like the prophets. So any kind of gatherings in church must not omit the teaching and learning of God's will. The reason why God tells us that the responsibilities of the people who teach the Bible are much bigger is because someone can be attending church for all their life but still not know or never heard of God's will. This is possible especially when you hear some sermon these days that only delivers the good messages and encouragements of the Bible and omit God's rules and regulations and the punishments. If they don't educate people on the history of the Bible from the start of God's creation all the way to the end properly, they will be picking out some topics or themes to talk about which can cause misunderstandings or emphasize on the wrong idea of God. That's why people attend church all their life and still not have the opportunity to read the Bible from start to the end. The results of disobeying God's words are destruction and collapse. That's why God wants so desperately to work through the people who are awake and sensitive about God's will, to pass on God's heart and His wills correctly for those who fall in the wrong understanding of religion. The Christians are listening to service every week. So the reason why they fall for destruction is not because they don't hear or know the truth, but because they choose to ignore God, who shouts out to you, to us, and warns us due to our greedy attitude. The prophet Amos is warning us of these facts through chapter 3. The prophet warned the northern Israelites that if they continue to walk in disobedience, the strong nation will destroy them and only few will survive. Chapter 4 is about the warnings of punishments of the rich woman living in luxury. Basically, because they stole from the poor and oppressed them to spend it on the beauty, they will be taken away the hooks just like the cows. It seems like women are really going to the extreme end of luxury nowadays. This is not generalization, and majority of women are not like this, but the ones who are more exposed in the social media and the extreme cases do show this trend of showing off and spending more than what they can afford. So they collect clothes as many as celebrities, cover themselves with brands, expensive jewelry, and unaffordable products, and nothing can ever satisfy, so they hope and want for more things, and they try so hard to maintain that young, healthy skin. So some even go beyond that and try to find wealthy men who can give this luxurious life, ask him to work harder and earn more money, and always compare with people who earn more than him. So again, this is only a small number of women overall, but because back in history same things were happening and it was a problem, God is warning the women who are so into these lives and also to prevent us from becoming like this. Chapter 4 also warns those people who treat the worship and service as like weekly to-do list, a bit out of habit, with no heart. To the people who created the golden calf and changed God into an idol, God is saying, did you burn enough offerings to make yourself feel better? Did that feel graceful and satisfy you? Just pray how you wish and just like exaggerate the worship. Just live like that. This is not an encouragement. It is a warning from God. The reason why they are coming to church is not to change yourself or your life to fear God's will, but to earn and wish for what you want and hope for the blessing. So any offerings you give to God through the service is just seen as falling into the wrong idea of being religious. And if it makes you feel religious, then do however you wish. So why do you guys come to church every Sunday? Is it because you really want to know about God's will and want to learn how to live like God's people? Or is it just because you want to feel peaceful and stable in your life, the same reason you go for temple stays maybe? Is the God you believe and think the same God as the one in the Bible? Through the prophet Amos shout out, we need to re-examine the roots of our faith and our religion. Because these people distorted God and turned him into the golden calf in the first place, it was difficult for them to understand or feel God's real heart and his sincerity. Misunderstanding God and making him into a God who we anticipate is the biggest problem. In the Bible, because the people misunderstood God, he tried to bring back the people through disease, plague, war, and many other methods, but his people couldn't understand the message or even realize it. So the prophet Amos is telling us to prepare to meet God, not the God who gave us salvation, but now the God who would judge us. Because in the eyes of the prophet Amos, it was obvious that when we leave God's protection and care ourselves, we will receive the punishment for our decisions and actions. So he was pressured to desperately tell people to look for God and return to his hands. So the Bible, chapter 5, verse 46 says, "This is what the Lord says to Israel, seek me and live. Do not seek Bethel, do not go to Gilgal, do not journey, for we'll surely go into exile and Bethel will be reduced to nothing. Seek the Lord and live, or he will sweep through the tribes of Joseph like a fire. It will devour them and Bethel will have no one to quench it." Now a lot of churches only talk about positive subjects and give blessings. Because people like those encouragements, but hate the honesty or the bitter truth. They complain and dislike it when they make unnecessary troubles and burden the people, especially when their life is well off and stable. This is why churches tend to add or omit a few things, or do not discuss some aspects or areas in the Bible, and the people interpret it as they wish to make their life easier too. If we seek and chase convenient and easy life, a life we want, it would only lead us to death. We need to seek God, move to the path where he leads us, follow God's fairness and justice, and warn people who live towards death to come back to God. So what message do you hope for from church? Hopefully you'll meet God's true heart before expecting something from him. So what kind of life does God want his people to live? Seek good, not evil, that you may live. Then the Lord God Almighty will be with you, just as you say he is. Hate evil, love good, maintain justice in courts. Perhaps the Lord God Almighty will have mercy on the remnant of Joseph. No matter which generation we are from, the life as Christian requires us to hate evil and love the good, love life, and set good examples of equality and justice. Basically, living as God's promises. So don't imitate the world, keep your values and beliefs firmly wherever we are called upon. So why does everyone in today's society live with such an evilness? It's because our society is so not fair. We put in effort and try our best together, but people with money and connections get all the results, and we just suffer losses for being honest, become stupid and dumb for living with God, and faced with no justice if we are powerless and we are unfairly treated most of the times. This is due to people not following the rules and regulations set by God. So as Christians, and the chosen people, we need to remember the promises God made with us and change ourselves to have positive influence on the world so that God's values will be achieved. It's not important whether we cried while repenting on our sins or was touched by God's words. The important thing is whether our values and beliefs have changed after knowing God and we are practicing those values in our lives. Whether we live by God's will is more important than whether we come to church every Sunday or help out a lot at church. Chapter 5, verse 21-22. I despise your religious festivals. Your assemblies are a stench to me. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will not have regard. I will have no regard for them. We need to know our priorities. To put it simpler, there is no meaning in worship and service if there are no changes in our life after we've met God sincerely. The reason why we call the Temple of Jerusalem holy is because it is a place where God existed for people of Jerusalem, also a place where people would remember the promises and orders of God to repent on their lives and challenge themselves to live like God's will, not because the building itself was holy and sacred. So if these fundamental values are not practiced in our lives and just focus on crowding the church, God is the Lord who will demolish the building. So rather than making the building fancy and inviting a lot of people, being crowded, God is wanting the justice to roll on like a river and the righteousness to flow like a never failing stream. The true repenting on our sin is not compromising attitude or change for a short period of time or being two different person at church and in the society or just blabbing about things. It is all about changing completely in our lives to follow God's will. That's why in chapter 5, God hopes to see us outside of church, spreading the positive impressions of God and sharing the love we received by God and always doing the good. That's the life we need to live as priests of God, God's children, and as Christians. Despite these sins, our generation is quite safe compared to back in history. So people argue how we could experience such a holy revival and only tell the good things. But in chapter 6, the prophet scolded him, and to look at how the nations who were much stronger than you ended up acting just like you. The Arab and Philistine was judged and punished for the same reasons, but because they didn't bother the starving poor and only tried to make themselves full, they were the first ones to be captured as slaves. So the prophet said that many prophecies of soon to come future, which was almost like a curse. If we don't consider others and insist on our greed and think it's okay, then you will all end up falling in eternal death. So in chapter 7, the prophet Amos feels pitiful towards the North Israelites while looking at God's tools of punishment. So he ends up praying for the Israelites twice, and God didn't end up punishing them with fire or locusts. Instead, he shared his love and grace to them. But God's love and sympathy doesn't persist forever if we choose to sin and insist not changing. And we know this through what God showed the prophet Amos through his dreams. So we cannot compromise anything. God does love us and forgive us, but his rules and regulations and the standards never change, and he will judge us accordingly. So God's patience doesn't mean forgiveness. So when Jeroboam's dynasty continued to ignore and insist their own ways, God told the prophet that he will end the Jeroboam's dynasty. As a result, chapter 7, verse 10-11, the Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent a message to Jeroboam, king of Israel. Amos is raising a conspiracy against you in the very heart of Israel. The land cannot bear all his words. For this is what Amos is saying. Jeroboam will die by the sword, and Israel will surely go into exile and away from their native land. The priest of Bethel means the people who worship the golden calf as their idol that God hates so much. So the priests of Bethel represent the most accurate picture of people who misunderstand God and think him as what they think he is or wants him to be. The golden calf that they made never says anything dangerous like this to the king, but because the prophet Amos said the right thing, he hated to listen to the prophet and reported him to the king in order to kill him. The true gospel and the true words makes people who sin and live a life of ease very uncomfortable. It makes them nervous and fearful. So it can be an opportunity for them to come back to God. But this priest who reported the prophet and accused him, rather than admitting his sins and repenting on it, he told the prophet to go back to the land of Judah and earn the bread there and do your prophesying there. And don't prophesy anymore at Bethel, because this is the king's sanctuary and his temple of the kingdom. So even though the priest was listening to the true words of God through the prophet, he tried to shut him and told him to return to his hometown. So people don't like facing the truth, but we must do face the truth. So although it can be difficult and uncomfortable, we need to hear the truth to have the opportunity to change, to live a new life with God. So don't fear God's words and being confronted with truth. Facing these problems now and overcoming those pains and hardships through changes is a lot wiser decision for us than just ignoring it till the time of judgment. Now is the time to receive grace and hear God's callings. God is the forgiving and the waiting God with patience, but the time of judgment will definitely come. So before it's too late to regret, you should not try to stop them or shut their mouth or tell them to be a little softer. Instead, face it, overcome it, and don't repeat it. But when we read the Bible, even the priests who are meant to set a great example to the people, they block their ears, refuse to hear the truth. That's why God chose to punish them. When people are in their stable time of their life, they hate to listen to God. But once they are hit with critical situations, they try to listen out for God, but it is often too late. God will choose to remain silent when we only realize after the punishment. So chapter 8, verse 11 to 12 says that the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will send a famine through the land, not a famine of food or a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. Now you might shut God out because you don't want to hear it, but when the time of judgment comes, you will not be able to hear God even though you wish for. So people will stagger from sea to sea and wander from north to east, searching for the word of the Lord, but they will not find it. Soon later in the future, the time will come where we won't find a place to listen to God, even though we really want to. Not just the information in the Bible, but God's heart will not be heard, no matter what we do or try. So now, when we are given the opportunity, we have to be humble, repent on our sins, and do change. So no matter how hard the prophet Amos tried to tell them to repent on their sins, they just choose to ignore it. So God punished them with earthquake. And after 2 years, just like how God warned earlier. And approximately 200 years after the prophet Amos, at the time of the prophet Zechariah, he mentions a lot about this earthquake that happened, which proves how deadly and significant this earthquake was. So after the punishment, is he writing about the people who learned from their mistakes and changed, or the ones who still didn't change anything? So in the Bible, the people who went through all of that still remained to live however they wanted, so they ended up being destroyed because of their disobedience. People who don't perceive anything is like an animal which becomes extinct. So if we are humans who can think for ourselves, when we are hit with hardships, shouldn't we think about why it all happened? But the Israelites escaped from the earthquake rather than trying to find out the cause. So when these things happen in their lives, people often just blame it on God instead of reflecting their lives and see where they went wrong and coming back to God. The Israelites still insisted to disobey God and follow their greed and thoughts, so they ended up being destroyed within that 50 years. There's many reasons to why people who heard and observed these prophecies being achieved still don't know God's will. The fundamental reason is that they don't teach and educate the Bible. So with the promises God made with us, that God emphasized and repeatedly told us to state and teach and learn the rules and regulations made to all men and women, children, and even to foreigners. The Bible says to at least educate them from the start to the end of the Bible every 7 years. Because we don't teach the history properly, people don't even know what is going on and just blame God on the inconvenience that they're faced with. So what do you hope for when believing in Jesus? Better life, more success, easier life? Then you found the wrong address. Life as a Christian is not like that. We shouldn't calculate the success and fails. Just focus on understanding what God's wills are, how God feels and sees this generation now, and what messages He is delivering to us, how the generations and the history have ended up till now, and how it will be from now on, and whereabouts we are in the history of God, and try to set the correct standards of the world and history. So knowing the Bible, God's will and rules and regulations properly is more important than how many times you read the Bible or how long you've been attending church. So it is important to check on how much our life have changed in a holy way and whether we live to glorify God in our lives. The book of Amos describes the history of God's judgment and punishment, chosen people rejecting and ignoring God, and God's desperate call-outs for people to come back to Him, and very heartbreaking feelings of God. The last chapter, chapter 9, is also about God's warning of the upcoming punishment to those who are so arrogant and believe that there will be no more punishment and still choose to disobey God. At the end, looking at these people living the pathway of death, the prophet Amos believed and trusted God that God will still work for the ones who walks in faith. So the few who remain is not the ones who survived the situation, but the ones who believed in God. So Saint Paul still lived in faith despite any hard situations or pain, and the Bible justified the remaining people as the ones who hoped for salvation. God works through people who keeps their faith in Him and always will be next to those who give love and help and care for them. At the time where people seeked convenience and easy life, a life driven by their greed, it would have been hard for Amos to tell them that's the wrong way of life. So the meaning of the name Amos is the weary and the burdened one. So it will be hard for all of you to tell your family, friends, or anyone that are going through the wrong way and following the wrong values of life. But God will want us to shout out that only true way to eternal life is to believe in God and obey God and really pass on God's love and sincerity.